Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, July 25th, 2024. I forgot what year it was already. We'll start with a story titled Half a Century of Dedication. Newly retired teacher reflects on 55 years of educating local youth. This is written by Kegla White. At the end of a cul-de-sac in Catlin, Gary Hetmansberger sits in his home, reminiscing about the 55 years he spent educating the youth of Vermilion County. Throughout his home hang several mini grandfather clocks, tick, tick, ticking away the minutes at different intervals. One of the clocks dings 11 times, announcing the hour. Hetmansberger and his wife have been collecting clocks, among other antiques, since early in their marriage. As to why he loves clocks, he says he just loves the sound. My wife only lets me keep one in each room chiming, he says, laughing as another clock in the next room chimes the hour. Needless to say, the Hetmansberger is ultimately aware of the passing of time, having invested two million eight hundred ninety-two thousand seven hundred eighty minutes, nights, weekends, vacations, and summers, of course, of his life dedicated to educating kids. He now enjoys the slower pace of the retirement. It's only been a short time since his official last day, July 10th, with Danville District 118, but he is making the most of it by keeping busy in the garden with his wife and planning vacations with her to Florida. Born and raised in Tilton, Hetmansberger said since he was a young man, his father made it clear how important education was for his future. My father did not finish high school. He dropped out, says Hetmansberger. So when my brother and I were in high school, he told us, guys, you've got to do two things in life. You've either got to learn a trade or you've got to go to college and get an education. While his brother became an engineer, Hetmansberger was unsure which path to take. He was good at math and I wasn't, so I thought, what am I going to do, he said. He found the answer one day during his freshman year of high school when he was assigned a career paper by his social studies teacher. I was stuck, and so he said, well, Gary, what do you like? My life is sports. That's all I like, says Hetmansberger. He said, well, you ever think about becoming a PE teacher and a coach? I said, yeah. And he said, well, you got to go to college to do that. And so that's what I did. After completing 2 years of Danville Area Community College, he went to finish his degree at Eastern Illinois in 1969 with a major in physical education and two minors in history and driver's education. The first year out of college, Hetmansberger got his first teaching job. Superintendent David Ratcliffe had been my principal at Southview, and he encouraged me a lot to go to college. So, of course, I applied in Danville, but they didn't have any openings right away, he said. He began teaching PE at East Lynn High School in present-day Hoopston School District in the fall of 1969, but the administration needed more from him. East Lynn had only 52 students in the whole high school, and so they were looking for a teacher who could teach more than one thing, he said. I taught PE, and I had all 27 boys in one class, you know, so that's 1 hour a day. Since he had a double minor in PE and driver's education, the school utilized his wide skill set. I had a couple of history classes, American history and a political science class, and they needed somebody to coach baseball in the fall, basketball in the winter, and track in the spring. So I was head coach of all three seasons, he says. After that first year at East Lynn, Hetmansberger moved on to teach PE to elementary school students across the dozen or so elementary schools in Danville District 118 at the time, a position he stayed at for the next 10 years. Each week he would rotate between a few schools, Oaklawn, Lynch, and Northeast Elementary Schools. We were all traveling teachers, he says, of himself and the other five PE teachers the district hired that year. So you had a different experience at each school. When he took the job at District 118, he also started teaching driver's education classes before and after school, something he would continue for the next 50-plus years of his career, even after he officially retired from full-time teaching in 2002. Aside from the natural anxiety of being with a new driver in a two-ton death trap, Hetzmansberger says he didn't worry too much thanks to his preparation and guidance from more experienced teachers. To get practice teaching at a driver's ed as a driver's ed teacher, we would teach foreign exchange students. That was extra hard, especially if they weren't good with English. Thankfully, however, he says his college professor would ride along with them the first few times they had student drivers and help guide them on what to teach the students. Best of all, says Hetzmansberger, unlike typical cars, those used for driver's education have a second brake, one on the passenger side of the car should things go awry. That gives me no fear. I don't have any fear because I can get the brake and I can get the wheel and real easy if I have to, he says. From 1980 to 1983, Hetzmansberger moved away from teaching PE and worked as a full-time driver's education teacher at Danville High School. Then, in 1983, the school district made budget cuts, and that was the first on the proverbial chopping block, having been one of the most recent hires. That's when Hetzmansberger moved into a new phase of his career, teaching introduction to social studies classes to high school students. A conglomeration of several disciplines, including history, psychology, sociology, anthropology, and geography, Hetzmansberger says he didn't initially like teaching social studies, primarily because he didn't enjoy learning about it when he was in school. Sociology and psychology are good topics if you got a good teacher, he said. Teachers can really make the class. Ultimately, he came to enjoy teaching social studies because it allowed him to just touch on the basics without having to delve too deep into one subject, which his students enjoyed more. After 3 years of teaching social studies at DHS and continuing to teach driver's education courses before and after school, he says budget cuts in the social services department at the high school forced him to move to Southview Upper Elementary to teach basic math, science, social studies, and English. One benefit of his new position was the chance to trade off classes with other teachers, he said. I was a history teacher and taught English classes, and the science teacher there did not want to teach any social studies classes, so I traded with her and got this experience of teaching all those things but didn't have to teach science. From 1987 to when he officially retired in 2002, he continued teaching at Southview. Like most teachers who were in the classroom in September 11, 2001, he recalls what his experience was like. It happened right before school. The kids were coming in and everybody, even the kids, realized that something was wrong, you know. We thought we were being attacked, he said. Life was very different, he says, for that final year of his full-time teaching career. I think I made the kids appreciate history more, he says. I would say, this is going to be the history book for your kids to study. This is going to be in the history book for your kids to study. Afterward, he said, his students had many questions. I think their biggest question was, how can somebody hijack an airplane? Why would somebody run an airplane into a building and kill themselves? So I tried to explain that some people are willing to give up their lives for what they believe in. Hetzmansberger says he particularly enjoyed the opportunity to get to know his students better in driver's education training classes. I got to know the kids just on a personal level. You know, when you're in a classroom and you're trying to learn about a kid, his classmates are all there, so he's not going to tell you a whole lot, he says. But in the car, I can keep up a little bit just by asking what's going on in school and that kind of thing. When his wife retired from her position, Hetzmansberger says he began to think about his own retirement. when she retired, we started going to Florida every February. So I didn't work in February. I took it off. And then we'd have a week before, between summer school and fall, when we would go to Michigan and stay with different places, he said. She always wants to go more places and told me I need to quit anyway. So that's when he did. But for the next 22 years, Hetzmansberger would continue to teach driver's education at DHS before and after school, as he had done from the beginning. When his arthritis began acting up a few years ago, the extra money from teaching driver's education just wasn't worth it anymore, he says. Now he's looking forward to more travel and time with his grandchildren and perhaps a good book. I used to read all the time. I'm going to get back to that, he said. I read everything I used to always have a book, but I'm real busy, you know, visiting with my grandkids. And there's a picture of retired District 118 Gary Hetzmansberger holds up an old photo of him from his early days as an educator. He retired in early July after 55 years of teaching. It's a long time. Next story is titled Social Media Helps Locate Family of Veterans Struck and Killed by Vehicle. This is written by Amy Graham McCarty. The family of a veteran struck and killed by a vehicle on Sunday, July 21st, has been located. Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden says within minutes of posting to social media asking for help finding the family of James Ritter, the man's cousins reach out to her. According to her, the Illinois State Police, ISP, Ritter, 82, of Danville, was attempting to cross the roadway on Gilbert when he was struck by a 2014 Ford Fusion driven by a juvenile. Ritter was not in a crosswalk or at an intersection, police said. Ritter was unresponsive when Danville police arrived at the scene, according to local police. He was transported to a local hospital where he was pronounced deceased. The driver of the vehicle was uninjured. The juvenile was issued a citation for failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident, illegal consumption of alcohol by a minor, and aggravated driving under the influence of alcohol drugs causing the death, according to the ISP. McFadden said a search for relatives revealed that Ritter had no children and his mother, father, brother, and sister were all deceased. I went to Veterans Affairs and even looked at financial databases, she said, of the search for the Ritter's next of kin. He had been a dishwasher at Steak and Shake on South Gilbert Street, so I reached out to them. It had been over 6 years since he worked there, and they didn't have any data on him. I thought, what do I do? So I decided to go to the internet. McFadden said said she is not a fan of Facebook, but thought someone had to be related to Ritter and may see the press release. I wrote a press release and posted it to the Facebook, and the Danville Police Department said they would post it, she said. Not even 10 minutes after it was posted, people were commenting and offering suggestions. We got a phone call from his cousins, one of them living in St. Joe. Working through Vermilion County Veterans Assistant Superintendent Marty Carroll, McFadden learned Ritter had been honorably discharged from the Army and qualified to be buried in Danville National Cemetery. I'm a veteran myself, she said. I felt that we needed to go above and beyond for this veteran who was a hero to us. That's nice. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Thomas L. Heiser, 77, of Danville, passed away at 4:14 p.m. on Thursday, July 11th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville, Illinois. Memorial services are at 12:30 on Tuesday, July 30th at Robeson Chapel, Catlin, Illinois, with Father Peter Pallon officiating. Interment in the Danville National Cemetery with military honors by the Danville American Legion, Post 210. Visitation is from 11:30 to 12:30 p.m. on Tuesday, July 30th at Robeson Chapel in Catlin, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, memorials to the VFW Honor Guard are accepted. Mary Margaret Parrish Wernig passed away peacefully on July 18th at the age of 92. Visitation is from 10 to 12 noon on Monday, July 29th at Vermilion Christian Church at 725 Oakwood Avenue in Danville. Memorial services will begin at 12 noon with Pastor Rod Godley officiating. Interment at the is at the Stearns Cemetery in Fithian, Illinois. Memorials to the Vermilion Heights Christian Church, Robeson Chapel, Catlin, Illinois, is handling the arrangements. And Tony Augustine, 66, of Danville, passed away July 22nd at his home. His celebration of life will be September 7th, with specific details to be published later. Next story is titled, Danville Police Investigating Shooting of Juvenile, written by a staff reporter. The Danville Police Department is asking the community to help in locating the person or persons responsible for the shooting of a 16-year-old on Tuesday, July 23rd. At around 9:45 p.m. Tuesday evening, Danville police officers responded to the 900 block of James Street for the report of a gunshot victim. Officers arrived to find a 16-year-old subject who had been shot. The juvenile was taken by ambulance to the local hospital and is currently in stable condition, according to police. This incident is in early stages of investigation and nothing else is being released at this time. Very little information was provided to the officers on the scene. Lost my place here. Sorry. Because of that, the Danville Police Department is requesting assistance from the public with any information that can be provided about this incident, a news release states. Please contact the DPD at 217-431-2250 with any information regarding the shooting. The community can also contact Vermilion County Crime Stoppers anonymously online at vccrimestoppers.org or by calling 217-446-TIPS or 8477. Tips that lead to an arrest may offer a cash reward of up to $1,000. Next story is titled, Indiana Launches Safe Zones Pilot Program. To provide the lives of motorists To protect the lives of motorists and construction workers across the Hoosier State, the Indiana Department of Transportation, known as NDOT, announces the official launch of Indiana Safe Zones, a 5-year work site speed control pilot program authorized by House Enrolled Act 1015 during the 2023 legislative session. Deployment of cameras in work zones will start with a pre-enforcement warning period during which no violations will be issued, but courtesy warnings will be sent. By statute, NDOT may deploy cameras in up to 4 sites at any given time. The goal of the Safe Zones program is to slow drivers down, reduce crashes, and most importantly, save lives, says NDOT Commissioner Mike Smith. Speed continues to be a factor in work zone crashes, and changing driver behavior and is crucial in making work zones safer for drivers and road workers. For everyone's safety, I urge drivers to wear their seat belts, avoid distractions, and follow the posted speed limit. How it works: signs will be posted at motorists and as motorists enter and exit work sites, notifying them that speed limits are being monitored by an automated system. The system will monitor the speed of vehicles using speed timing devices as they pass through the work zone. When a vehicle is determined to be traveling 11 miles per hour or more above the posted speed limit, the system will capture an image of the vehicle's rear license plate. After the data is validated, violations will be certified and issued to the owner of the vehicle by mail. The pilot program will begin with pre-enforcement period during which drivers will receive courtesy notices but will not be fined. After the pre-enforcement period ends, the first violation will result in a zero fine warning, the second in a $75 civil penalty, and every violation thereafter a penalty of $150. In accordance with the statute, collected penalties will go into the state's general fund. Workers must be present at the site at the time of the event. for violations to be valid. Similar programs in other states have significantly improved work zone safety. 2 years after Maryland launched its program, speeding violations in construction sites fell by more than 80%, and incidences of work site-related crashes, fatalities, and injuries were at their lowest in more than 10 years. In the first year that Pennsylvania began continuously enforcing its program, it saw a more than 19% drop in work site crashes. Next story is titled, VA Ileana Enrolls Veterans in Health Care, Hosts VISN 12 Leadership. On July 23, 2024, VA Ileana Healthcare System hosted VetFest at Danville Stadium. Veterans were able to enroll for care on the spot and participate in whole health coaching sessions. After the event, some veterans and VA staff enjoyed the Danville Dance game, at which Daniel S. Zomchek, physician, FACHE, Network Director for Veterans Integrated Services Network 12, threw to the first pitch. "I'm so glad to be visiting VA Ileana during this event," said Zomchek. "The VA Ileana team is so committed to public service and the VA mission. I'm always happy to see that they have been working on this to increase veterans' access to a high-quality physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual care." On July 24th, Zomchek and Deputy Network Director for VISN 12, Ike Lusk, visited the Danville VA Medical Center, where staff showcased a variety of process improvement projects. Since February, the community care team has been working on a project to ensure veterans living with diabetes are able to manage their care within VA without the need for a community referral. The project not only resulted in reduced wait times for scheduling community care by an average of 3 days, but it also reduced operational costs for VA Ileana for diabetic care by about 94%, according to a news release. I'm impressed by the results we are seeing at VA Ileana," said Lusk. "The team is truly committed to the HRO principle of continuous improvement, and it shows. The strides they have made to provide the best care possible is a testament of what VA is about. While at VA Ileana, VISN 12 leaders also meet with staff from dental service, police service, and the Center for Development and Civic Engagement. Veterans looking to sign up for VA care may enroll online or in person at the Danville Medical Center or the Bob Michael VA Clinic, or by phone at 877-222-8387. Next story, Secret Service Director resigns after assassination attempt on Trump. And this is by the Associated Press. Kimberly Sheadle, the Director of Secret Service, stepped down from her job following security failures at a rally where a 20-year-old gunman attempted to assassinate former President Donald Trump. Sheadle had been facing growing calls to resign and several investigations into how the shooter was able to get so close to the Republican presidential nominee. Sheadle is a 1988 graduate of Sharman Academy in Danville. She had served as Secret Service Director since August of 2022. She announced her departure in an email she sent to the staff. President Joe Biden says he's grateful for Secret Service Director Kim her decades of public service. In a statement shortly after she announced her resignation over the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump, Biden and Kim selflessly said Kim selflessly dedicated and risked her life to protect the nation, and he wishes her all the best. The Independent Review get to the bottom of what happened on July 13th continues, and I look forward to assessing its conclusion, Biden said. We all know what happened that day can never happen again. House Speaker calls Kim's resignation overdue. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the resignation of Kim was overdue and that it should have been happened at least a week ago. News of Sheetal's resignation happened just as Johnson and Republican leaders were wrapping up their weekly press conference Tuesday morning, July 16th. I'm happy to see that, Johnson said. I'm happy to see she needed the call of both Republicans and Democrats. She heeded the call. Now we have to pick up the pieces. We have to rebuild the American people's faith and trust in the Secret Service as an agency. Earlier Tuesday, Johnson and Democrat leader Hakeem Jeffries announced the formation of a bipartisan task force to investigate the attempted assassination. Trump says, "I was forced to take a bullet for democracy after the administration did not properly protect me," minutes after the news of Sheetal's death is what he said. Trump posted a statement on his social media saying the Biden-Harris administration did not properly protect me and I was forced to take a bullet for democracy. It was my great honor to do so. Trump's campaign did not immediately respond to the message seeking comment on Sheetal's resignation. It was not clear if Trump's post in reaction to the news about the Secret Service director's resignation. Deputy director appointed to fill her place. Secret Service Deputy Director Ronald Rowe has been appointed acting director of the agency. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said, "Rowe is a 24-year veteran of the Secret Service and has served as deputy since April of 2023. I appreciate his willingness to lead the Secret Service at this incredibly challenging moment as the agency works to get to the bottom of exactly what happened on July 13th and cooperate with ongoing investigations and congressional oversight." Mayorkas said in a statement Tuesday. Mayorkas said he has the utmost confidence in Deputy Director Rowe and the men and women of the Secret Service who put their lives on the line every day and deserve our full support. Run through a couple of news briefs. Project Success enrolling students. Project Success of Vermilion County is enrolling 7th through 12th grade Danville students into after-hours program. This free program is held Monday through Thursday from 4 to 6:30 p.m. at the Danville Family YMCA. The program offers activities such as field trips, STEM, art, cooking club, DIY club, guest speakers, and more. Please call 217-446-3200 to find out how to sign up. And church to have a rummage sale, bake sale, Bethel Lutheran Church at 901 West Fairchild will be having their annual rummage sale and bake sale on Friday, July 26th from 4 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, July 27th from 8 to 1 p.m. Proceeds go to local charities. And one more quick one, Westville Library to have a book sale. Westville Public Library will have a book sale on July 26th from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. The library is located at 233 State Street in Westville, Illinois. And I guess we got time for another one here. Gospel sing set for July 27th. Morsi Chapel Church of Christ at 19194 East 1100 North Road will have a gospel sing on Saturday, July 27th at 5:30 p.m. Performing will be New Creation from Assumption. A carrion mill will follow the concert. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, July 25th, 2024. Looks like a little rain this morning, but I think it's supposed to be done for now. Hope you all have a good week. It's supposed to be a nice week. Have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.